Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, listeners. This is going to be a very special episode. I'm doing my first collaboration. So I'm Tyler Cirillo, host of the Otherworlds podcast, and I'm joined by two of some of my favorite podcasters. It's all you guys.
Hey, I'm James Miller from the Lore Boys podcast, and
I'm Peter O'Donohue from that very same Lore Boys podcast.
We're missing our third Lore Boy, who's usually here each week. He's off on a vacation in Nicaragua, and that's Ethan Palmer.
But yeah,
just us for today.
Well, I just want to thank you guys both again for taking time out of your Sunday to come talk to me.
Thank you for asking us.
Hey, man. I love doing it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be fun.
Fucking better be.
I hope so. All right. Let's just get into it. What got you guys into podcasting?
Ethan was the guy who kind of started the idea. He was working. We both work at a video game company. We weren't really moving up in the company at that point. I think he was looking for some sort of creative outlet. So he approached both me and Peter. We met at a bar and said, hey, we want to do a podcast. What should it be about? What should our name be? It was just a way to get a creative outlet going, basically.
Yeah, it's actually kind of too bad that Ethan is the one who's not here, because it was his idea. I had known him for about 10 years at that point. He was dating my friend Kelsey, is how I met him. She's a girl I went to school with, so I had known her even longer. Like, one of my really, really good friends. And I met him through her. We got along really well. And then he just sent me a message on Facebook one day, like, hey, man, you got a good voice for radio. Yeah. Do you want to do this podcast with me and my buddy Jamie, who you already know? And I was like, okay. Yeah. I don't know who the fuck you're talking about, but
we
okay.
I met Pete through a different avenue. I met Pete at a house party when he had just moved in down the street from where we are now. And Peter had met him. Ethan had met Peter through his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we both already knew Pete, so it just seemed like a good idea.
So I know this is going to be familiar information for you, Tyler, but for your listeners, it's like the weirdest, like, serendipitous thing ever, because... Yeah. My buddy Jesse had moved into our apartment before I did by like 2 months, knew Jamie, invited him to a housewarming in my own home, which is where I met you. And then just after that, I found out, I was like, oh shit, that's true. Like, I do know this guy.
I was actually like going through a breakup not too long before that. And my philosophy was, I'm going to say yes to every single thing I get invited to for this little while.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said yes to was meeting Peter, which eventually led to knowing him for the podcast. So,
And I very much use it as I don't work and have not worked with Jamie and Ethan. I work for a separate company, not video game related. As soon as he presented it to me, I was like, cool, creative outlet. It's a good excuse to hang out with people. I already kind of read wikis because I'm a fucking loser. And so it's a good way to get that as well.
I've known Ethan since I was like 4 years old, and we were kind of friends then and became really good friends in high school. And now we ended up sharing a locker at work and in high school, and known each other for a long time.
It breaks up the monotony of having like a 9-to-5 office job is to do something a little bit wacky here and there. And frankly, I can't believe how consistent we've been.
Yeah, more consistent than anything I do, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are well beyond 100 episodes at this point, right?
Numbered is 117, and total, I think, is about 120.
Pete, you always know that stuff. I never keep track.
I know because I have to put the numbers on the title cards.
Oh,
which is
the
only reason. I'm not like, it's not like, I'm not like Rain Man where I'm just like, definitely 117 episodes.
I saw in your bathroom you had a tally being scratched into the wall.
Shut the fuck up.
What's that about?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm just making sure I'm regular. That's it.
Uh, Oh, good. want you to stay regular. But that's interesting how you guys all ended up meeting. It's almost like it was destiny, dare I say.
Yeah, and we're all really close together as well. Like, we live... Each of us can get to one of the other locations within 10 minutes.
Yeah, the farthest... I'm the farthest to Ethan's place, but I walked there for a 24-hour stream and stuff, so it's not so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool it worked out like that. Before I forget... Jamie, what's the company you and Ethan worked at?
We still work at it. It's Keywords is the name of it. It's basically, they do, if you've heard of a video game, we've worked with them in one way or another. I signed my life away, so I can't talk about the games I've worked with. But
fair.
We do everything from, like, I do customer support on that side of thing. I'm a project manager for that, so I'm managing four different projects. Making sure that they're getting the right support, the clients are happy, all that stuff. Ethan's on the testing side of things, so he's also a project manager. So he's managing a bunch of teams and making sure the bugs are out of the game before they actually come out.
I work in the back end of a payment processor. What I do basically is, like, I do legal money laundering. I guess we didn't mention, we're in Montreal, Canada. We're not American.
Did you just hold for applause?
Yeah, exactly. Montreal, Canada, so the people listening can applaud themselves like lunatics.
Thank you.
So I work for a payment processor. This is a specifically an issue in the United States where for some reason, a lot of American merchants still use dial-up internet to like a shocking degree. And sometimes if you pay with your credit card or your debit card on that machine, your money can leave your account, but it will just fucking vanish. So a lot of what I do is I need to reprocess transactions to make sure my merchants get paid without you, the cardholder, actually knowing. So I basically duplicate transactions without anybody seeing it.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's kind of a testament to America's crumbling infrastructure. I'm not even caught up on the modern ease of internet nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you said it, not us. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what got you guys into gaming? Why don't we go back there?
Oh, man. I guess I could start again. My mom used to play video games a lot. When I was born, or like when she was pregnant with me, she was playing on the NES already, playing like Super Mario. So I was getting that doop, 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 doop in vitro.
Instead of Mozart on the headphones on her belly, it was, yeah.
I gravitated towards video games like ever since I was little. For my 5th birthday, I got my Sega Genesis. Then a neighbor went off to college, and his parents gave me like 25 games on the Sega Genesis. And at 5 years old, this was just like...
You're basically the richest kid on earth at that point.
Yeah, it was too many games that I couldn't beat one of them.
Child Emperor.
Yeah. So I don't know. Ever since then, I've been playing a lot. I got into World of Warcraft with Ethan in high school. I played games, but... forever. I just love them. So how about you, Peter?
Yeah, weirdly enough, I didn't really start until I was already an adult. One of my best friends growing up lived across the street from me and had a Sega Genesis and a PS1 and PS2, so he kind of kept me familiar with it. But my first console was actually a 360 that I bought with like summer job money, so I didn't start gaming until I could afford it myself. And now I have a PC that I built in 2015 for gaming, which I still use. So I'm like hardcore now with PC gaming, and I have a PS4. But I started once I could afford it. I always liked it. I like the artistry behind it, and I like just the challenge. I'm like 99% single player as well. So it's always been my replacement for like reading a book. It's how I absorb a story. Until of course audiobooks came around. It's just because I doodle, so I don't really have the focus for it.
It's a story that you have control over. It can do things that a book or a song or a movie can't do in a lot of ways, where you have ownership over a character, you make their decisions. It's one of the best ways to me to take in a story.
Yeah, sure. So that's how I got into it, all my friends gamed, and then once I could afford it, I was just like, jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I agree. You know, gaming kind of offers a different perspective in storytelling, and I think... gaming is obviously a big reason why we're all here doing podcasts about, you know, fake history and stuff like that.
Yeah,
totally.
Personally, I think my first introduction was an N64. So I played, Super Mario. Or no, what was the...
Mario 64.
Mario 64?
Yeah, dude, I had that game too. I loved it.
I never experienced the Genesis. I've emulated some SNES, so I'm a little familiar with that era.
You monster.
Nice. I've never done that.
Nope. Yeah.
I know, so bad. I'm gonna have to cut that out.
Yeah, just like this, like 5 second silence in the entire episode. Just like, that's odd.
If you hurry up and buy all the cartridges you played on an emulator, you're legal. Because as long as you own the physical games, you're allowed to emulate them.
Word. Yeah. Exactly.
It's some gray area for the laws, but yeah. Well, I have a huge collection of basically every game ever, so I'm allowed to download it all off the internet. It's fine.
Yep. I believe you.
Yeah, I believe you too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, guys. That's it's interesting that you started on the 360, Peter, or that's when you really got into it. I would still consider like the 360 one of the best avenues for gaming. You know, that was such a great console.
Yeah, I played a lot of games that I would eventually rebuy on PC. Like, the first game I bought with my 360 was BioShock.
I was gonna say it. But yeah,
it was. I got BioShock on my 360 at the same time. I now have so the main character in BioShock. Obviously, you just see his hands. He has like three chain links on his wrists.
Yeah,
I have the same tattoos.
There's BioShock merch on the wall right over there. Pete's got the tattoos.
Yeah, I've got the tattoos on the inside of my thighs, though, instead of on my wrists. I thought it'd be interesting.
You do not.
Interesting.
That is a lie. That's not true at all.
I've seen the inside of those thighs.
Yeah. So I got BioShock, and it just blew me away. Of course, I have it on PC now. And then I got, like, the Orange Box, which, of course, is Half-Life 2, Episodes 1 and 2. Team Fortress 2, which is still my most played game ever.
Portal,
yeah. And then I rebought the Orange Box on PC as well, just once I could, basically.
Interesting.
Those games all led up to Artifact, which is a great card game.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm not too familiar with that, but I've heard a lot of, you know, just bad things.
Nobody's familiar with that.
It lost like 95% of its player base in the first month. Like, it was a Valve game that flopped.
I can't remember why we had mentioned it. Ethan had told us he had, for some reason, like, lurked the Artifact community page on Steam a couple weeks ago, and there was like 73 people playing.
At that point, you know who you're playing against. You know, if you play with any regularity.
Yeah.
It's Steve. I know his deck.
Yeah. Classic fucking Steve move.
It's crazy Valve just like stopped making games and just started making money.
Yeah. It disappoints me, and despite the fact that like VR is for PC, at least for me, is far too expensive, I'm really happy that their next game is not just Half-Life Alyx, because I like that character a lot, but like a VR, like a big boy VR game made by people who make their own hardware. I think that game has the potential to be absolutely spectacular.
One thing I'm kind of concerned about is after the playtesting, it's the same length as Half-Life 2 from the testers,
which is like 13 hours.
Yeah.
The first playthrough, at least.
I play through VR games, and although I can stay in VR for 13 hours, a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how they're going to, if there's going to be clean breaks in the story where you can just kind of like, all right, this is where I take my headset off, or if it's kind of like Half-Life 2 where things kind of are rolling the whole time and it's balls to the wall.
But... yeah, well, at least when you get to Black Mesa East in Half-Life 2 before Ravenholm, before the zombie level, that's like a really quiet level with a lot of sitting around and talking. So if there's a couple parts like that to just like cool off, sit down, and just have characters talk directly at you.
Yeah, for a lot of people, they get sick, so they have to take their headset off and vomit and then get back into it. But
that probably, Black Mesa East would probably be the best time to do that.
Okay, best time
if
to
you
vomit.
Need to throw up, just do it when Judith Mossman and Alyx are arguing.
Got it.
I haven't experienced VR personally, but I could see, you know, just with Valve's, you know, track record with their games, I could see them kind of taking it to the next level of like, oh, this is like that single player experience in a VR that, you know, most of the VR games I see are like mini games like Beat Saber and stuff like that. But it seems like they're taking it to that next point that we would imagine VR to be.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
I'd agree with you, though. Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hard to get a good single-player experience with a story at this point in VR.
Well, you did Resident Evil 7, though.
And that one was very good, but even then, there was a lot to improve on, I'd say.
Yeah.
So hopefully Valve pulls it through.
Yeah, I forgot about RE7. I played that just on the PlayStation 4. That was a fantastic game.
Oh,
and I'm making my way through Resident Evil 2 right now.
The remake?
Yeah, it's super good.
That looks dope as hell.
I've been meaning to pick it up eventually.
I played the demo on PC and I was blown away by how good one that PC port is. Capcom's PC team are, I would hazard a guess, as like the best in Japan. Because Japanese PC ports tend to be complete garbage. Like, I can't even play Sekiro on my computer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't detect my controller, and playing on the keyboard is impossible.
Yeah, I could imagine some hand cramping playing a FromSoft game with the mouse
and
keyboard.
That's the thing. Like, I was rebinding keys. I physically am not flexible enough in my left hand to play Sekiro.
You just gotta hold your keyboard like a Guitar Hero.
Like a
guitar. Yeah, exactly.
A quick tangent, actually. Speaking of keytars, I watched most of Rocket Man last night, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
I like Elton John a lot.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about that movie.
It's brilliant. I fell asleep, though. I was a little gin drunk, so.
All right. Nothing like just drinking some gin at home alone, watching some Elton John.
No, I was out of town. I was with some friends.
Okay.
I'm not like a divorced French woman.
It's not as sad anymore that you were drinking with friends.
Yeah. Thank you. Jamie thinks it's sad.
He's wearing his shawl and his like dark glasses. And
yeah.
Just drinking gin out of a cup and singing along with Elton John.
Yeah. Oh, we have fun here, you know, on the Lore Boys.
Sure do.
Yeah, you guys are fun to listen to. Why don't we talk about the art real quick? We talked about this a little bit, Peter, but... You want to talk about how you do the art for the Lore Boys?
The title cards? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I basically because I often ask for feedback and get it from Ethan and Jamie when I need it, but they rarely advise me of anything unless there's like a particular... So basically the title cards that we do for each episode are really fucking weird because it's... almost always at least, like sometimes there isn't something that I remember, but it's almost always based on our favorite joke from the episode
or the easiest one to draw at some point.
In some cases, yeah. If there's something that's hilarious, like the most recent one I did, or no, it's not done yet, shit. Never mind. So there's one that I'm currently working on. Excuse me. There's one of the title cards that I'm currently working on for our second Halo episode about the Spartan program, where the funniest bit in that episode was when we were talking about how a guillotine wouldn't work in space because there's no gravity. But in a single panel, because it's a single panel image, basically to represent the episode, you can't represent the fact that something isn't falling in one panel. Because you can't change the positions of the characters at all. No one can react to it.
Yeah, it's tough to do. Like, we were thinking the executioner with the hood over top of his, like, bubbly space helmet.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, floating slowly to the side where the eye holes aren't matching up with his eyes anymore and stuff like that. Which, I guess, is a little harder to illustrate.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. The reason that we do this is because there's a podcast that I listen to called Castle Super Beast, who are two other guys here in Montreal. And they used to do the Super Best Friends podcast as well, which is weird. I've actually met all of them just, like, around town, like, nice. all three of them. And their episode titles are always complete nonsense, because they'll go off on some kind of weird-ass tangent, and then they'll just set that as the episode title, like, whatever it is. Like, think about the weirdest thing you've heard on a podcast, they'll set that as the title. I like to draw. I've been drawing a long time. I would love to be a cartoonist one day. I figured to have our show stand out, we would do the same thing, except I would illustrate the weirdest thing that we've said. So our first episode was about The Legend of Zelda, this was a while back.
Yeah.
The first episode was about The Legend of Zelda, and like the fact you can like cheese Ganon in Ocarina with the fishing rod.
Right.
We had made the joke that the fishing rod itself is actually the hero of time. So our first title card ever is like Beast form Ganon being choked to death by a fishing rod wearing a hat and Link's tunic.
I totally forgot.
That's
that.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It's been so long.
And then the most recent one I did, which was our Halo episode about the Covenant, we had joked about like this long-running suburban sitcom featuring the Hierarchs and the Elites,
right.
And how there's like two competing dads. So I've got the Hierarch riding like a 4Runner lawnmower, just blasting shitty chopped up grass into the elite's yard through the fence.
And he only has a push mower.
And he's just got a push mower, and he's just like shaking his fist and screaming at him, wearing an Argyle sweater vest.
They get kind of weird. Like, in Castlevania... So basically, the dude to beat Dracula has to... His wife gets infected, and he has to kill his own wife with his wit. And she, like, willingly asks him to do this just so Dracula can get defeated. Yeah. And then his wife gets absorbed into the whip. So then we got into some weird conversations about how they can still maintain a sexual relationship. And Peter ended up drawing the guy from Castlevania choking himself with his whip with his hand in his underwear.
Yeah, so, he's doing autoerotic asphyxiation.
We all got our kinks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, dude.
So they can get super weird. One of our Battletech episodes is, like, an American... like an American Confederate Civil War like postman on a horse frozen in a block of ice just drifting through space.
Yeah, I don't even remember the there's one with
that's great.
Kirby the like all naked in the mirror saying like would you fuck me now?
It's the scene from Silence of the Lambs and it's would you suck me and it's Kirby is Kirby is Buffalo
great.
Bill.
are we allowed to swear on the podcast by the way?
It's too late now.
Yeah, why the fuck now?
Sorry. If you share this with your family and friends, they'll probably have a very bad opinion of Canadians shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the way I do it is generally I'll do a couple of doodles, some concept art by hand, just pen and paper. This is kind of like a muscle memory thing, and it also lets me develop ideas really quickly. So some of our concept art, like there's one for like the Elder Scrolls where the concept art is just like multiple heads and floating hands just so I can kind of conceptualize where the body's going to be and what he's going to be doing. And then obviously the final product is a full thing. So I will.
These are all scrawled onto his bathroom wall as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I'm a complete maniac.
Yeah.
So I'll take that and leave it next to me on my desk just so it's also kind of like a muscle memory thing if I'm drawing it again.
But Peter draws with a mouse, not yes. with a keyboard, not with like a tablet or anything.
Which... Correct.
Okay.
I draw in Flash. I draw in Flash with my mouse, low sensitivity. So it's a bit slow. Like I really wish I had the money or currently the time to practice with a tablet because I have a touchscreen for my PC. Just no time, really, and I don't want to put out, like, shitty art when I'm already good at something, despite the fact it's slow.
We could draw them, then photocopy them, and then mail them to every listener.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Especially because most of our audience is in the States. That would be, I mean, wickedly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
A lot of postage, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll draw and do the primary color, like, and all the coloration in Flash. Then I'll export it as a PNG with no background, put it in Photoshop. Then I do shadow sources, light sources, and then the actual title and episode number. So, like Jamie was saying, like I know the episode numbers mostly, like because I have to type out like Lore Boys episode 117, The Covenant, and then I'll fit that into the art.
And then it gets posted in a group chat, then to the episode, then later on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually how it goes. Yeah. Yeah,
and on Instagram, which is how you found us. Correct? You found us on Instagram.
I discovered you guys on Apple Podcasts,
and then
I stalked you on Instagram.
Excellent, yeah.
After I listened to you guys some.
Do you remember how like which was the first one you listened to, or something that stuck out?
It was probably back in October, I think.
Okay.
September, October. So it was probably one of your more recent episodes. I couldn't tell you what the first one I listened to was.
That's fair.
I was kind of going through some of your catalog yesterday. And I listened to Metal Gear Solid. That was a great one.
Yeah. That's actually one of the title cards I didn't do. That title card was done by our guest, Chris, who's like a professional illustrator.
And that's our most listened to episode out of all of them for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that story is so weird.
It's...
And like I love the art style, and I think it's great that they're jokes because, you know, video game stories in and of themselves are just tend to be pretty silly. So I think it works that you have these jokes.
Yeah, and it really helps me practice as well. So I have a couple of rules, like, despite the fact that, like, I was just saying how hard it is to show that, like, the guillotine in space is not falling because there's no gravity, I tend to have a rule, like, it's got to be relevant to the episode, and something kind of has to be mid-movement, just to make it a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah.
And I tend to like add things in or take things out because it's still primarily a title card, so I need to fit the name and number of the episode on there. So I tend to draw with a lot of empty space to make sure there's room for text.
Yeah. Well, something you mentioned that it goes well with the jokes, that's something I actually struggled with, like, after episodes we used to talk about this a lot, and I guess this is something kind of finding our tone, because I found at certain episodes, I felt like we joked so much that we lost the lead. Like, we don't even know what the story's about anymore. So I made it my own personal responsibility to be like, okay, that's funny, but what's the story? And try and really ground the thing. And I think after we've done 100 episodes, like, these are, we figured it out by now, but in the earliest episodes, I felt that way, that I was trying to strike a balance between telling a true story, but also having fun along the way.
We've hit our stride enough now that the majority of our recent episodes are completely unedited.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you guys, you know, it's been, what, three and a half years now you've been doing the Lore Boys show, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Close to three. Yeah. I think we're still...
It'll be three in May.
Yeah, yeah. We're just under three.
Yeah.
Just under three.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then it's a good excuse for me. I've gotten really good at drawing different things because the jokes that we tell are so fucking weird. Like, if you actually sat down and thought something up, like the Nokia episode that we did, I would never have the opportunity where someone would be like, yo, Pete, can you draw a snake in a wind tunnel wearing goggles?
I wrote that hour-long episode in like 35 minutes, yeah. By the way, because I forgot it was my turn to go.
Yeah.
I loved it. I listened to that the other day. That was such a good one. And I do love the art. I'm looking at it right now. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's such a weird idea in the best way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a lot of professional comedians will say like improv comedy is really good to like sharpen your skills because you don't really know what's going to happen. So the title cards for Lore Boys are like that for me, where I can draw something that makes sense and get really good at that. But the fact that I'm kind of like kept on my toes, so to speak, like in quotes, is I think really beneficial, and I absolutely love it. Like it's some of the most fun that I have is getting a title card done and then seeing, like, it's of course derivative, like I'm redoing other people's work, but like seeing, you know, an elite wearing an Argyle sweater that's very mad at his neighbor is like, where else are you gonna find that?
Yeah, I think that it might speak to a lot of listeners too. I don't get an opportunity to speak to a lot of listeners, so it's really cool to hear that you found us through Apple, but that like a lot of people with their friends have these inside jokes that come up in the weirdest ways, and to be involved in that process and then just hear it happen, I think is cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And I do think you guys have a great balance. One of the things with, you know, shows like this, where we're just talking about history and events and other stories, is that you can kind of get bogged down by the facts and the story. So when you guys do, you know, inject humor into the show, I feel like it holds my attention more because it's like, oh, okay, a break, a laugh, and, you know, continue on. And I still feel like I learn a lot about, you know, my favorite games just listening to you guys. But you have that nice balance, and
excellent. Yeah,
you know, I think that's important.
That means a lot to hear that. Thank you, man.
We also have like some of our tangents. We have like a few running jokes that like come and go throughout the episodes. But the one thing that's remained consistent is Lore Boys canon. When we just kind of inject our own speculation into something, no matter how stupid.
That's fun. Yeah, there's.
Oh yeah, those are great though. They're so funny.
Lore Boys canon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
We come up with some good fan theories too. So I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think was your favorite episode you guys have worked on?
I have a couple. I'm really involved in World of Warcraft right now. Like, I've been playing, like, a lot. And I really like the Corrupted Blood incident. The sound quality is not our best one, but the content I really, really enjoyed. It's about basically a virtual plague that happened because of an oversight on mechanics in a raid that made the whole game unplayable for the better part of a week, where there were real it was like a model for diseases for actual scientists. It was a basically a debuff that carried from person to person, and it killed everyone, and it would have killed just everyone once and then gone away, but the NPCs in the game acted as carriers because they had such a large health pool that they would just hold on to this debuff, and then whenever a player character would get close to them, they would die. So it was just this crazy phenomenon that happened in World of Warcraft by accident, but was studied by, like, a government was studying it for terrorist cells because there's people who were purposely spreading this thing, and I found that super interesting.
Yeah.
That's just like the South Park episode when you have the dude just running around killing everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that, yeah.
The audio quality for that one's kind of shit because you were in Mexico, correct? We did that one remotely?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For me personally, I don't think I have one episode. I'm really proud of my Battletech content because people really, really seem to love it. And it's probably my favorite research to do because I absolutely adore Battletech and MechWarrior. And I think I have 5 or 6 episodes about that. And I think they're all like probably some of my best work just because of the amount of passion that I put into it. Yeah. And they're some of my favorite title cards to draw. And it just covers like I covered thousands of years of virtual history.
Yeah.
Over the course of like 6 episodes with like different political factions, people's names, different battles, all this other crazy stuff. So if I can cheat and just say the Battletech extended universe that that I got myself into, I would say that'd probably be it.
If people are listening to this and they want to like get in, I think like, what was our second Halo episode called?
The Spartan Program.
The Spartan Program. I think that one was one that we were all really on for whatever reason. We were just like all awake and like super into it. I remember having a ton of fun for that one.
I think it's probably because we recorded that on a weekend instead of after work.
Yeah.
Like in like the early evening instead of like super late. So I think it was like just a perfect combination of factors led to that.
That one was like
just had all that natural energy.
Yeah. For real. So if anyone's looking to get into it, I'd say that one's a good one, or just pick a game you like and you'll probably have a fun time.
Yeah. I also really loved, actually, this is an episode I did. This is an episode that Jamie kind of took the lead on. Our 100th episode, where Jamie took random quotes from random episodes and we played like a guessing game like who said what. These are things that didn't turn into title cards but are equally as absurd and inappropriate.
I spent an afternoon just like dropping the needle basically on a random episode through the first 100 episodes and then taking an out of context quote and saying, Peter, Ethan, who said this, you, me, or Peter, let's say, if I was talking to Ethan. And I wish I could remember some of them off the top of my head.
I remember one was just like, one of the things that I said like years ago was just like, and then people can buy boxes of Wheaties that give them sex changes.
Yeah, box of Wheaties. Yeah, like,
yeah, like what?
That was in the Metroid episode, which was like our 7th episode or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. And it also gave me the opportunity to do the research. Like at that time, we had covered like something like 61 or 62 different franchises over the course of 100 episodes.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's quite a bit. A good variety, for sure.
And of course, I'm always proud of the annual Christmas episode, where we kind of changed the entire format. We all put on different consistent characters and act like holiday characters are criminals.
I can't stay in character for that. They definitely stay in character. I just end up laughing the whole time.
I was going to ask this later, but as you guys are Canadians, I'm really curious as to what free healthcare is like.
In Quebec, it's kind of garbage, actually.
Yeah, so to me, I kind of had a hard time with free healthcare. Most of the time when I needed help, I can't get it very reliably. The only time that I got help quickly is when I was like worried about a risky sexual encounter and I went to the gay village and they helped me out real quick with the test.
Yeah.
They have really great support for that stuff. But if I'm like just have a flu and I need to get a doctor's note or just like get some antibiotics or something, the way it works is like you can go to the emergency room and you can wait for like 6 to 7 hours. If it's a flu, they're going to put everyone in front of you. So it's going to be a long, long time. Or you can go to these clinics. The way the clinics work is they open at 7 a.m. and you basically have to be waiting outside the door at 6 a.m. until to sign up because they just take a certain amount of names and they're done for the day. But imagine being like so sick you don't want to get out of bed. Then you have to go wait in the winter outside of this crappy place at 6 in the morning until 7 where you may or may not get a spot. It's just, I haven't had great experience. I try to avoid going to the doctors.
I'm really lucky. I have what's called a family doctor, which is like a doctor that has a limited amount of patients, and I can see her pretty much whenever I want. No. But I lucked into this because my sister is a fitness trainer, and this doctor was just one of her clients. No. Otherwise, I wouldn't have one. I went through a lot of difficult shit this summer. Like, I wasn't at work for about 100 days. I was fortunate to have a family doctor at that time, like from July to August. Or July to October, excuse me. Issue being, like, if you're like, I went crazy and haven't actually seen anybody. I've been on a waiting list at my family private clinic since July.
Yeah.
2019. And it is currently February 2020.
Yeah.
So,
oh my goodness.
Sometimes it feels like you get what you pay for, which is nothing. right? But I wouldn't have it any other way, frankly.
Yeah, if I had a heart attack, I would get seen right away. One time I cut my foot open. Oh, this is dumb. I broke a window to get into my place, right? I threw a propane tank through it.
Jesus.
This was back at university when I was drinking a lot more. And ended up just like going to bed, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to get this fixed up in the morning. It's the summer. It's not a big deal. And I got up in the middle of the night and the window pane, like there was a piece of glass that leaned up against the wall and I just walked into it.
Oh my God.
So my foot started bleeding profusely. Ooh. And I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. So I tied up a t-shirt around it real tight, and I went back to bed.
Yeah, like...
And then I got up the next day, and they saw me right away, and they fixed me.
Yeah.
Like if there's something serious, they will fix you. But if you have a flu...
Visibly serious, too, sucks. Is kind of the problem. Or, like, yeah. Mental health, again, like I said.
Yeah.
I've been on a waiting list at a clinic that I am a member of, basically.
Yeah.
For who knows how long. But, like, if it's super serious, like, my grandfather needed a pacemaker, and that was taken care of, like... Went to the hospital, got seen, because he's old as hell,
yeah.
And then got his surgery, and he was healed, done, out in 2 weeks, all for free.
Yeah.
And he's still alive, right? Like, he's still going. This was like a year and a half ago.
I'm glad to never have to worry about going bankrupt because I get sick. Like, that is something that we don't have to worry about.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah, you can get sick, or in my case, go crazy, and it's all taken care of, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Even my prescriptions, like, I had, like, a wicked... like respiratory infection last year. Remember when I was taking like those fucking horse pills? Well, there was
yeah, I had to give you your suppository.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like these pills the size of like a knuckle that I had to take for this infection, yeah. For like 2 weeks. It cost me like $4 for my entire dose.
Yeah. And if you have insurance at work, you can write that off a lot of the time too.
Yeah, my work covers like 60% of it. So yeah. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's not perfect, nothing is, but yeah, that it's pretty great. I endorse it. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just hear so many horror stories and, you know, a lot of the time I avoid the doctor just because I know I'm going to have to pay all these different fees and stuff. You know, so I guess universal health care isn't perfect, like you said, but it's definitely something modernized, industrialized country should have. So thank you for telling me. I didn't really know how that system works.
I would rather wait 19 hours in a waiting room in a dusty old hospital just to get an x-ray rather than have my life completely destroyed.
Yeah, I just got a Nintendo Switch and a gaming laptop in the last like few months, so I've got enough battery life to last me a while.
You could literally, you could get bone cancer. just be like, dog, I got enough time.
I'll just lay on my stomach.
Yeah.
Oh. Enough with the politics. Let's talk about video games. Is there anything you guys have been playing recently?
Pete, you can start on that.
Yeah, sure. I've been playing the DLC for Metro Exodus because I really like that game. So I finished up the first one called The Two Colonels, which was phenomenal. And I'm currently working on Sam's Story. And then yesterday and this afternoon, I played Destiny 2 for the first time since December. And I mean, Destiny 2 is still pretty tight, pretty enjoyable. I was quite into it. And I'm slowly making my way through MechWarrior 5, but I've been playing some shorter stuff just because that game is fantastic, for one, but also ridiculously long. I finished Blasphemous, which is brilliant. And that's a
2D Souls-like Blasphemous. I played it a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's really good. I absolutely loved it. So yeah, like most recently, Metro Exodus and the DLC and a little bit of Destiny 2 for about 2-3 hours.
Yeah. I've actually been off for the last 2 weeks. This is the last day of my 2 week vacation. It was resetting in March, so I said, whatever, I'll just book a random date way ahead of time. And I did, and the new patch for World of Warcraft came out. For World of Warcraft, the classic one, not retail. So I ended up playing with my guild. They got promoted to an officer. So I'm in charge of all the priests in the guild. So I've been doing that, like farming resources, making sure that our guild is completely prepared to get in there. And we ended up beating the entire raid week 2, which was really, really fun. The mechanics are like super hard. And just to get 4 people or not four, sorry, 40 people to work together in tandem. And if one of them messes up, it could kill all of us. And to make it through what is right now the hardest content in World of Warcraft Classic was super rewarding. I finished at 1 a.m. and I was like screaming like, F yeah, woo, like just so excited. Like, yeah, I felt like I just got a coffee enema. I was like so wide awake, man. Like, yeah. Like it was super rewarding, and like making call outs and just like we have a really, really good group. I've never been this into an MMO, but all the people that I play with, I would meet them in real life. There's two of them that live just outside of Montreal, and I want to get everyone together. But World of Warcraft's huge, huge one. I'll have an episode coming out about Blackwing Lair eventually. And on my Switch, I've been playing whenever I'm on my way anywhere, I play Hollow Knight. It's a game I've been playing for a long time. It's super good.
We have two episodes about Hollow Knight, if anybody's interested, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that stuff.
I like that game. How long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
On and off. I started in grade 11. I don't know what that is in the States, but it's 2 years before finishing high school, basically. And I played with Ethan. That's actually, I moved out of both of my parents' place because we weren't getting along for a bunch of reasons. And Ethan and his parents actually took me into their place. So I lived on his farm for a year and a bit. And I just got a laptop. He gave me his brother's account. And that's one way we really, really bonded. And I think that's part of the reason why the game holds such a special place in my heart, because I love Ethan. And we played that a lot together when we were kids, so.
Yeah, that's a cool story. You running a guild, that's probably something you could put on a resume.
Dude, two nights ago, I stayed up till 5 a.m. dealing with guild drama. And I'm not sure I can keep up with my guild responsibilities when I go back to work tomorrow. Because it's been a
good
job.
Good at managing large groups of people who cannot agree on certain things.
I saw a post about it. I managed two groups of 40 people where we could only distribute limited resources gated by weekly timeouts and stuff like that. Like, and it's exactly that.
It's like you're in a medieval town under siege.
Every boss is going to drop 2 to 3 things and there's 40 people. How do you decide how everyone gets it, keep everyone happy? People are going to leave, so you have to constantly be recruiting, and then you have to make sure the new people. You have to also make sure you're clearing the content fast enough for people to jump ship and go somewhere else. So it's a lot, but I have a ton of fun with it.
Yeah. It does sound like a part-time job in a sense, honestly. Yep.
Little flex, I'm in the top 9% of priests on the busiest server in Classic WoW right
now.
Holy
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I had a really, really good healing week, so.
Yeah, I've never been on, like, I used to play Gwent, and I used to be in, like, the top 900 or something with that, but I never really was into, you know, really trying to compete in games, because it's just so stressful.
Yeah, I've been the same way. I don't play a whole lot of multiplayer.
That's why I play healer, though, because I wasn't trying to do, like, to be better than the rest, but I just want to save my friends so much that I happen to do really well.
Man, got to play that support role.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's so heartwarming.
I gravitate towards support roles in most games.
That's cool. So, yeah. Do you guys play Overwatch at all?
I do.
I do not.
Yeah.
I play most hours are on Mercy, then Lucio, so.
I played a free weekend once. It was enjoyable, and I, who the fuck is, I mained Symmetra.
Okay.
I like her a lot.
What about you?
It's been a while since I touched it, but I like the support roles. Mostly played tanks. When I was playing it a lot, I think I frequented Orisa the most, because she was one of the newer heroes, and I loved just, like, dinging headshots with that cannon that seems to never run out for her.
Yeah.
And putting up those walls is so much fun.
Yeah, and then you got, like, that gravity ball, too, like, that one map that has the big pit in the middle. You could just, like, shoot that out in the middle.
Perfect for that map, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking
to
get back into it.
Yeah. I just got a new PC, like, last week, so I've been meaning to... I used to play on PS4, but I should try it out on the PC.
You have a PC copy, eh?
I do, yeah. Someone bought it for me.
There you go.
When are we going to start getting free games from developers to talk about them on our podcast?
I'm waiting to shill so hard.
I have sold, like, 8 to 9 copies of Hollow Knight. I think I've paid for my copy of Silk Song by now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah.
I've just been so busy playing Raid Shadow Legends with its realistic 3D graphics.
Oh my god, shut up.
Oh, yeah, okay, so that's the game I keep hearing every YouTuber boast about, right?
The radar. Yeah, it's the game that is single-handedly making it possible to be a YouTuber in this day and age. After the post-adpocalypse came in,
yeah.
And it's just like somebody had to step up and keep all these bloggers alive.
Thanks, Raid.
Yeah.
What do you guys think makes, you know, video, not just video game lore, but, you know, we can just say fake history in general, worth exploring and worth talking about?
Hmm.
I think, like, personally, that, how do I say this without, like, I think that a lot of stories that are told in the grand scheme of things don't make a big difference on real life. Like, there's a lot of stories that do make a big difference on real life, but I'm more interested in the escape than focusing on what's real. I do like to ground some of my stories in like to say, oh, these are where the developers are at, just so you have like a way to ground it to your real life. But at the same time, I'm way more interested in like, oh, this weekend I went to in World of Warcraft, I went to a place where I killed the prince of the Black Dragonflight, who is sewing together other dragons at their expense, right, to make his own sick experiments. I took control of another dragon and destroyed its own eggs with its own hands while mind controlling it, and it got so upset that we had to fight it in the end. And like those types of epic stories, I'm never gonna live. I work in an office job, and sure, my work's important and I do a good job at it, but this is gonna be cooler than most other things that I'm ever gonna do in my real life, I feel like, in the story way of it. So I think it's really cool to just get lost in these worlds because they're so extravagant and wonderful.
And the small details that the developers put in there, you know, just help flesh out a world and make it feel more lived in and like you are escaping to another place.
Yeah, totally, man. And I love that stuff. And I know Ethan's really interested in world building. Like, he's been writing ever since he was young.
Yeah.
And he started on like forums doing like RP type stuff. And then he still writes. Like, I have his old laptop and like
foot fetish forums mostly.
He likes fantasy. He likes fantasy, and he's really interested in world building. I think if he had more time, he's really busy at work. He does this, and he's busy like with his girlfriend and stuff like that. But if he had more time, I think he would do a world building podcast on how to take a world and build it up from scratch.
Yeah, for me, I like looking into it because like somebody put work into all this, and I think it's one fun to like bring it to light. Like somebody wrote down all this history for a place that isn't real. Yep. That, you know, who knows? Like, it's not like obviously like Tolkien did the Silmarillion, which is just like a thing unto itself. But in games or in D&D or in BattleTech, for me specifically, it's like,
yeah,
who was gonna see this? Like, somebody put all this effort into it. Like, somebody might as well make it known.
What's that Fedora quote? Like, what do they say? Like, you've lived one life, I've lived a thousand in like all my games.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Fedora quote. M'lady.
Some neckbeardisms.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily important, but it's really, really good, and it makes a lot of stuff a hell of a lot more enjoyable. Context is everything, right? So like, yeah, knowing these things, I have found, has made me enjoy games or D&D or movies a lot more, knowing like that it's not, they're not in a bubble anymore. Yeah. They're, despite the fact nothing's real, right? It's like the Lord of the Rings didn't just happen over the course of those three films or those three books.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff led up to that, or in BattleTech, it's like all the royal families that like warred out in space. It's like, well, why did all this happen? It's just,
yeah,
really interesting.
And getting like diving into that, it adds a layer of enjoyment for when you're actually playing the game as well. Like Peter was kind of saying,
yeah,
like I didn't. Nefarian was the last boss of the last raid, and wow, I know I keep talking about it, but I read a book about him beforehand, knowing all the atrocities he did. So whenever it came time to actually fight him, I'd like knew his whole background. I knew how he grew up. I knew his father, and this isn't easy to find in the game. Like, you have to go read books or like do certain quest lines and read every piece of that. But so if you really know that stuff, like, it makes your experience in the games much more enjoyable and epic and
it's just a really neat kind of thought experiment in context to be like, oh yeah, like,
yeah,
here's why all this stuff is happening. It's like, oh, okay, so it's not just like a dumb game with guns. It's like there's a bunch of, open air quotes, people in this world. Obviously, it's fictional, but it's like, it's just neat. It adds like a human layer to everything that you can kind of contextualize with our own lives, because obviously we're all at this point because of things that have occurred. And to add that to fictional people, it's like, oh, you can kind of empathize a lot more with what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's histories in the backstory, just immerses you more into it. And when you know that knowledge that might be, you know, not like right in your face, it just adds to, like, if you were taking down that boss and you know how much of a son of a bitch he was, you just feel more satisfied in defeating him, in exactly. a sense.
Yeah.
Totally, man. Totally.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any, like, personal favorite stories from games?
Yeah, probably. Off the top of my head, it'd be difficult. I really like, I like Hearts of Stone, the expansion for The Witcher 3.
Right.
Like, Olgierd's entire thing is really, really neat. I honestly really like the relationship between Yennefer and Geralt in that game a lot. Like, these two people who have loved each other for so long, but things have kept them apart. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I really like how that dynamic is. Like, the problem is a lot of the games that I play, despite my love of story, are really mechanically focused. So, like, I talked about it a lot on our show. Prey 2016 that came out is the greatest thing. It was like made in a lab for me.
Yeah.
and shipped out, and it's like, that is a game where the story is fine. It's, you know, it's about evil science being mean on the moon or whatever, but it's like a mechanical game for me. So a lot of what I play these days is mechanics focused. Yeah. Or without diving into the lore, Souls games, or Neo, or The Surge, which is something that I played a lot recently, is purely mechanical, whereas they have people, like, kind of in those worlds to talk to you, just because if you were playing, like, a dead, silent, black and white, two things fighting game, it'd be kind of boring.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you can kind of infer your own ideas, like, especially with the Souls games, where it's all just, like, tidbits of lore. You can kind of make up a story for yourself to, you know, if you really wanted to... And that seems like what Vativedia does, is kind of just contextualizes the clues in it, and then it's his own interpretation of what's going on.
I feel like Vati's almost running a racket, because I don't know if FromSoft ever intended for any of that stuff to happen, but, like, his videos are so good and so popular that, like, somebody over at FromSoft is sitting there watching his videos just being like, yeah, that's what I meant the whole time. I absolutely... See? Now there's, like, tidbits of lore that tie into older games, probably only because it was inferred by Vativedia in, like, 2014.
Yeah. That's funny. I really like a lot of the stories. I keep talking about it, World of Warcraft. As much as I talk about World of Warcraft when we started the podcast, Pete talked about Prey.
Yeah, I had it in an IV. Yeah, just going directly into my bloodstream.
Yeah, I've been living it for the last, like, couple of weeks, so I'm really into it right now. So I really like the story of Arthas Menethil. He's a guy who used to be a really nice piece of the royalty, or, like, member of the royalty on the Alliance side, and then eventually grew to be one of the biggest villains of WoW history, the Lich King, which is the second or third expansion, depending on if you count the first one as 0 or 1. The story of the Lich King, we have a two-part episode on it, and I had, like, so much fun reading up on that. I read a book, I played through Warcraft 3, and I played WoW on private servers all to get ready for that, because I just loved the story. It was so, so good.
It's also one of my favorite title cards, is for part one of the Arthas Menethil, is he has a bunch of loaves of bread tied to sticks, and he's burning them at the stake like witches.
Yeah, because nice. the bread was infected with the zombie plague, basically, and Arthas... He had to kill everyone who had eaten the bread. So the bread was the evil guy in that story.
You guys are making me want to play WoW and Prey now, honestly.
Yeah, how much time you got?
Yeah. Join the server Incendius if you want to play Classic WoW. I'll hook you up.
And Classic WoW is basically, they just, like, re-release the game without expansions, right? And it's, you're like starting at ground zero, essentially, right?
Yeah, it's patch 1.12, so it's not exactly the game as it came out. It's the game as it came out after they fixed the incredibly broken stuff, like a rogue being able to just, like, hold you in place forever and kill you, which still can kind of happen. Like a hunter, you being able to basically spec into a mage's gear and get insane damage off of your arcane shot. Like, they just, it's basically after they boiled down the game to what it was a little bit more balanced, but still has a lot of class identity. Like, things are still broken a little bit for every class, but it's not so, retail WoW right now is so, they sand it off every single corner. Like, if there's anything slightly unfair, it's just so homogenized now. Like, it's like one thing. Every character can be a tank, healer, and a DPS. And it's so balanced that it doesn't really matter who you play. And in classic WoW, like, a rogue can stealth and can stun lock you into a complete death combo. But I don't know. It has much more personality. There's no matchmaking system, so you do have to just actually get to know people. And I joined a Discord server and, like, quickly made some of the best friends that I've had in a while.
And that guy who, like, smelled diapers when he was on acid.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know if I want to tell that story.
Some internet weirdo that Jamie happened upon by accident.
One of our main tanks at the beginning used to do drugs and drink during raids, and he'd stay up really late, and he was kind of mean to people, and then he told a story about how he likes to eat his own baby's diapers.
What the fuck?
When he was really messed up one night.
Yeah.
Another guy basically borrowed money to buy an item to sell it at a higher cost to make the guild money, but just took off with the money and the item, and then tried to sell the item at $250 in real life, so stole money from us, then made money in real life, and like, there's a bunch of like really interesting things that can happen in Classic WoW that aren't as prevalent in the new WoW.
It's really interesting. The last time I played any WoW, I think, was when Cataclysm was released. I never got a character to like max level. I find it kind of hard to get into some MMOs, but I see the appeal. And, you know, World of Warcraft is such a staple now. You know, it's been going on since, what, 2004?
Yeah. I love leveling up. I love adding shiny little things to my inventory. Yeah. This is the deepest I've been in it ever. Like, I've played it on and off since Wrath of the Lich King, and I'm having the most fun now than I have ever. So it's really good. And if anyone wants to join who's listening, Incendius, my name is UNICEF.
Just like the charity.
Yeah,
same thing.
Because I heal the kids.
That's great. I love that.
Yesterday, I was on the Zeppelin, and I do this thing where I'll slash yell, and I'll just tell everyone, like, everyone, I'm taking donations, one copper for the kids, and like, one copper is nothing in game, so a lot of people open it up. So someone gives me like 69 copper, nice. And
yeah.
Then nice. another guy opens up, and he's a hunter, so he has bullets on him, and he just puts one bullet into the trade window, and he's like, this is for the kids. Jesus Christ, dude.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, like, well, it's so interesting to me that it has like a breathing and living economy in game that's just like, you know, influenced by the player base.
Yeah, totally, man. We had a bunch of people migrate to our server because we had a very balanced server. It was almost 50-50 on the Horde and Alliance side, and it was populated enough that you could get anything you wanted on the auction house, but not so populated that you couldn't find things in the open world. So a bunch of people just migrated to our server, and things have doubled in cost. You can't get anything in the open world right now. It's like, we have an overpopulated server right now, so we'll see how Blizzard handles that, but I hope they handle it somehow, because I can't get my herbs to make my potions.
God damn it.
So any other kind of passions that you guys have or want to talk about? Into movies, music, or anything like that?
Yeah, hentai.
Yeah, okay. Big into hentai. All three
I'm
of us.
Big into that.
Yeah, well, that's enough for me, guys.
No, I play music. I have like 11, 12 instruments in my apartment. Mostly play guitar, but I have a keyboard that's at Ethan's place right now, an accordion, a bass guitar, trombone, bunch of stuff. I really enjoy music. I don't play it as much as I used to in my younger years, but whenever I'm with a group of people who also play music, I love just to take out the instruments and jam with them and
play some Wonderwall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wait until
Thank God.
I bring people into my apartment, give them a couple beers, and then I make them watch and listen as I play Wonderwall in completion.
That's almost a kink, honestly. Yeah, I have passions for other stuff. Like, thankfully, the format of our show and the fact that I do a title card for every episode really kind of supports a lot of my stuff. I definitely have a passion for comedy and my sneezy cat who is interrupting me right now. I will throw you out of the window.
Oh, she's so sweet. She sits with me every time. And she'll
really
I come
be a screamer.
She loves Jamie. Yeah. Cat's name is Screamer, by the way, for context. Tyler's comment there would not have made sense to anybody who did not have a conversation with me 2 hours ago.
She has a little broken cat voice, so it comes out like screams.
She's got she's a busted up old barn cat who I think is like 10 at this point. I don't really know.
Yeah.
My passion for art and my passion for is basically completely fulfilled by the podcast because I get to read about other people's work and then also do my title cards. Some of our episodes are missing title cards, and that's just holdover stuff from various crises that have occurred over the past 3.5 years where it's just been too busy or whatever.
It's like piece of art a week, like, go. Sometimes you just don't have the inspiration, I guess.
Yeah, right? Thankfully, though, I had a good streak. I think I did, like, almost 90 episodes straight on time. And then things, whatever, right? Just, like, the river got a little choppy.
You got to do the art every week. I make Ethan do the editing half the time.
So. Yeah. So a lot of that's fulfilled. I have a passion for comedy as well. Like, the way I write my scripts is I write them... Like, I do write a lot of my jokes beforehand and then kind of allow the improv of the three of us working together to kind of feed into that or replace jokes or like, support other jokes. So I like comedy a lot. Like, I'm too much of a coward to do stand-up, so the podcast kind of replaces that since I'm not in front of anybody. Yeah.
This would be a great city to do it in, Pete. Like, Montreal's got a lot of comedy.
I have seen enough fucking amateur stand-up in this goddamn city to last a lifetime. And I'm really glad that I don't currently need to do that.
Aw, come on. It's fun. It's fun. You just gotta get out and do it.
It's like an empathy nightmare, because you watch someone on stage just bomb, and then you're just like, oh man, that could be me if I only had the cajones for it.
Yeah, but like, I think what people do is they bomb a couple times, then they watch like another comedian bomb and they just love it. They like,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Most comedians start off just consistently bombing, and then it's like a hump you got to work over, but that just sounds so intimidating.
I don't think I have the constitution to do that. I'm just not brave enough. Another thing I'm really passionate about is like paleontology and evolution. So like, I have my cat, but I also have my axolotl, which is like a really weird animal, and just love it. And you know, like, I constantly want more animals to like raise and take care of. Yeah. And it's just like, I really like weird pets and learning how to take care of them and make them happy, because that's like a challenge unto itself.
I have a husky, and I love her more than anything in the world. She's almost 10 now. I just went to the park before we came here, and she was rolling around in the snow and stuff too. So we all of us except
dogs.
For Oh, I love them, man. Yeah. They're awesome. Ethan doesn't have a pet, but...
He lives with a professional Mortal Kombat player. That's kind of like having a pet.
Now, he likes... Ethan's great with animals. Like, my dog goes crazy every time he comes over, but he's just so busy that I don't think he wants to commit to having something that needs him at home all the time.
Yeah. You should just get a snake. You need to feed him, like, twice a month.
Yeah.
Or another pro gamer. A second pro gamer would really, he could really take care of that.
The gamers you got to feed every day, though. And they tend to.
Do you really? No, you can just leave.
You can just leave the bowl out, but, you know, it's not good for them.
You can just leave one of those, like, one of those oversized upside down bottles with a little angled tube on it, like a hamster, just full of Monster Energy, and he'll take care of himself.
One of those papery dog food bags that are usually full of kibble, but they're full of, like, frozen, like, pop.
Oh, Hot Pockets?
Hot Pockets, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, God.
Or a trough, yeah.
Yeah, just a trough of Hot Pockets.
It sounds disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hot Pocket drops on the floor. It's like, oh, don't worry, the gamers will get it. I don't need to pick that up.
Oh, man.
Bunch of degenerate nerds we are. Yeah. Yeah, so outside of gaming and artwork, that is completely taken care of by the podcast. I'm very much like a interested in science and evolution and exotic animal husbandry. Honestly, not that I have more than one animal, but like it's just a fun thing to do. Like I have currently, I'm on my second butler guppy. So,
oh my god, he's putting these servant fish into the tank, and his main fish just keeps eating it.
Yeah, so my axolotl, she's about like probably about 11 inches long now. And she's
No need to brag, bro.
And she's thick too. She's a chonker. But the thing with axolotls is they're quite aggressive. They'll eat basically any living thing they can fit in their mouths. So you have to keep like the rocks and everything at the bottom of the tank has to be large enough that she won't choke because they're not bright, obviously.
Huh.
But I was having this problem with the tank where it was just like too dirty. I didn't have the time to clean it as much as I felt like I should. So there were all these teeny tiny little worms inside of it called detritus worms. And I was like, they're harmless, but I don't like them. So I got myself a guppy and, you know, quarantined him for a month just in case he had any diseases from the pet store, tossed him in the tank. 1 month later, he mysteriously disappeared, but the tank's clean as fuck. Axolotl says she was at work, didn't see him leave. So I was just like, cool, man, whatever. So I went and got another one. So I'm on my second cleaner guppy who's going to be put in the tank, I think, in about 4 or 5 days. I think he's about a month.
Where are you keeping this fish?
He's in the kitchen. He's in a fishbowl in the kitchen.
Oh my god, I didn't notice that.
So I'm on my second one there, and he likely... The problem is now the tank is still so clean, I don't think he'll have enough food. Because what happened to the other guppy was as he cleaned the tank, he had to go deeper and deeper into the water. I have a 20-gallon aquarium for my salamander. So he had to go deeper and deeper into the tank to get food. And axolotls just kind of sit at the bottom and walk around underwater like a normal salamander would.
What are we
so
talking about?
At some point, he just... I guess in his quest for food, just got too far down into the depths and vanished, man.
Oh my god!
And now I got another one who's a lot more aggressive, so I don't think he's gonna last as long. I think he's got some stones on him that are gonna get him killed.
Well, we'll see. What if he's twice as big and your axolotl's gone?
Yeah, my 1-inch guppy. Yeah, totally.
He's just in the shape of the axolotl, the guppy.
Yeah. So my first guppy was black and yellow, and I named him Pittsburgh.
Nice.
And then this, my current guppy is kind of like a shiny green, and his name is Ellis, after Ellis Island in New York.
Nice.
Yeah. And when he dies, I will think of another American city and match it up to a new guppy. As I can't really sleep without the stench of death in my bedroom. You know?
Where do you get an axolotl?
Okay, so I don't really know. So now, the last time I went to the pet store, they actually have little ones. They're like 2.5 inches long. They're like $30 Canadian.
You got it from a friend whose axolotl had babies and could not support all of their little lives, right?
Correct. Like, yeah. But this was all super serendipitous. Like, my girlfriend found out what an axolotl was and was just like, holy shit, these things are cute as fuck. I'm like, I know. I've seen them before. They are just the cutest. They have like a permanent little smile because of the shape of their head. And then it turns out this, like, girl she went to high school with had been breeding them and was just like, hey, they're all getting kind of big and they're trying to eat each other. I need people to adopt. And that's how I ended up with it. It's just, like, total happenstance that my girlfriend was like, hey, a friend of mine is breeding these things that I just found out about that are adorable. Can we get one? And I was like, fuck yeah, of course.
They're crazy, though. Like, we've talked about it on episodes, but, like, on one of our Magic the Gathering, the Jessica Thrice Touched episode, I think it was.
Okay, yeah.
We were talking about, with you, about it, like, if there's too much sodium in their...
Iodine.
If there's too much iodine in their diet or in the water or anything, they just grow lungs and drown.
Yeah, so they can... I can't remember the actual term for it, because they're a fully aquatic amphibian, so they're not technically amphibious.
Yeah.
But... They can lose their external gills and finish metamorphosis into a large salamander if, I think it's because of their thyroid would be my best guess, if they end up ingesting or being injected with too much iodine.
I don't understand.
Yeah, they can also regrow almost any part of their body. Like, mine lost her foot. It was chewed off by one of her siblings a few months before I got her, and her foot had already grown back by the time I got it. Her name is Push-Ups, because their arms grow in first, and all she could do is push-ups.
You're, like, blowing my mind. I had no idea about what axolotls were like, and they're even weirder than I imagined.
They're super weird. They're almost extinct in the wild, so having one in captivity here, I think, is doing God's work, keeping one fresh.
Of course they're almost extinct. If they get too much of one mineral, they just drown.
Yeah. But they also live in Mexico City only, which is... From what I understand, doesn't have the cleanest rivers on Earth.
No, I got parasites while I was there.
Yeah, from spaghetti. Yeah. Yep. Axolotls love spaghetti. So many parasites.
Well, I was trying to avoid the tap water, but I went to I went out with some of the people who were working for me, and they're like, "We got to go to this place," and it wasn't the nicest place. But I was like, "Ah, well, like when in Mexico, right?"
Yeah.
So that, but it looked like a can of spaghetti had a cup of water put on top of it.
Oh, God.
And then everyone's eating it like yum, and they're like, "You're not eating yours." I'm like, "Okay," so I eat it. Couple days later, I have amoebas living in my intestines.
I really like the fact that this has like kind of gone between interview about lore boys and kind of just like Joe Rogan talking about random shit. Like, I'm having a great time.
No, I'm loving it. This is a lot of fun. Yeah, no, this is great. One thing I did want to say, and we've kind of been touching upon this, is, you know, a lot of why I wanted to start a podcast to talk about these things is to, you know, show my appreciation for not only like the artistry of world building, you know, video games and all this other kind of stuff we're talking about. But, you know, as long as I've had this hobby of reading and playing games, it's been my one main escape. And I find that you guys provide a great resource for people to kind of get lost in a story, have a good time. Putting you guys on, it is like you're just sitting at the table talking, you know, about games like you would do just naturally in life with some friends. You guys are definitely providing a service out there for people with the same kind of passions that we have.
That's phenomenal to hear. Honestly, yeah. I'm really, really glad. That's the reason I came up with the name Lore Boys, because we had a couple of names that we bandied around.
Yeah.
Because, we met at a bar in downtown Montreal, if you ever find yourself here, called Brewtopia, which make all their own beers in the basement, like lunatics, like Homer Simpson, basically. nothing was presented to me to be like, oh, yeah, we need a name. But the idea that it would be like a casual show where you're just like hanging with the boys kind of made sense. And that's where the name came from.
Yeah, I just always like talking about the games with Ethan beforehand, really getting to know Peter, and then obviously with Peter as well. And every time we talk about a game or a card game or anything, like, I usually want to play it afterwards. Like, it gets me excited to talk about with my friends about this stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's really cool to hear that it's landing on the other side too, because podcasting is weird. You don't really get to hear from your listeners most of the time. Like, 90% of everyone's just going to download it, listen, and they're not going to reach out to you. But we hear from the people we do hear from, it's really, really cool to hear.
Yeah, we've got a couple regulars who email us at least twice a month, I'd say.
Something like that. We hear from them, yeah.
Yeah. Again, mostly in the States and Australia, of all places. Like, our Canadian audience is either non-existent or too shy.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else you guys maybe want to talk about? Any upcoming things you're excited about?
I've been trying to organize a collab with a YouTuber in Europe called Anger. She does Dota lore, so we're going to have a Dota episode at some point. She told me she was busy at the end of February, which is at time of recording where we are. So it'll probably be in March. Yeah. We're going to do Dota. I'll do more Halo eventually. I've done 3 episodes about Halo, but I'm going to take a break. And it's about it. Going to catch up on more art, keep our YouTube channel going. Our YouTube channel is like a way out of date archive of older episodes where you can get the audio and the title cards at the same time. But it's about it.
I'd say just like, if you've never heard of us and you're kind of interested, if you listen this far, you might be.
unless you're tied up, then God, I'm sorry.
Go to loreboys.com, theloreboys.com. You can just check out a couple of the episodes, or you just look up Lore Boys on any of your podcast apps. We're on all of them. And if you do want to reach out to us, loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Like, it makes my day to get any email at all. Like, even just to hear, "I heard you on this, guys. Like, what episode do you think would be good for me?" I would be totally happy to respond to that and help and like get to know you guys, because I just love interacting with the people.
Yeah, and because this is going out on both of our feeds, if you're a Lore Boys listener, if you're one of the lore folk, Tyler here is from the Other Worlds podcast,
right?
Which is very similar. I like it a lot. The episodes are much shorter, but they're very calming, much more accurate than any of our bullshit. I can guarantee that. If you're doing a book report, you're going to want to listen to The Other Worlds and not The Lore Boys. I guarantee it. That's it. Yeah, check us out at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram if you want to see honestly, the Instagram, I keep up to date with the title cards, but our title cards are meant for screens, not for phones, so they don't look great because they're not squares, but you can see our pets on the story and whatnot, and again, yeah, reach out, and of course...
You can appreciate those title cards on the website, too. They come in pretty good.
Yeah, well, they're proper sized on the website. They're made for the website, right?
So yeah.
And the website, like, it's so self-indulgent, but, like, every once in a while when I'm bored at work, I'll just, like, open it up and, like, scroll through and just see how much content is out there.
I
right
do that
now.
Too, yeah.
And, like, honestly, if you're looking to get into something that you haven't already, like, we have a lot of content. Maybe you'll hate us. That's fine. Tell us that, too. But,
yeah. Yeah, if you don't have the time for One Piece, but you have more time than you need, you can listen to Lore Boys. Yeah. There's a lot of shit.
And Tyler, I don't know since it's going to show up on our feed, if you want to do any plugs or like say anything about your own podcast. I unfortunately, I'm not super familiar with it. Peter introduced me to you, so.
Please plug away for our listeners.
All right, yeah, so I'm Tyler, Tyler Cirillo. I do the Other Worlds podcast. I'm not on a lot of social media. Really, I just do Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram at the Other Worlds podcast. I'm trying to, you know, consistently post on there. I don't know if you saw Peter, my one meme post I had the other day, but that's probably what you could expect from me. No original art, but I'll try to make some original memes.
Nice, man.
Yeah. Yes. What ambition. Original memes.
Well, yeah, I just want to thank both of you again for taking time out today to come talk to me and for, you know, doing this collab. I had a great time talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Man. It's the wildest thing. Honestly, like, we have our over 100 episodes, but, like, if we had exactly the same amount of downloads as we had episodes, I'd probably still want to do it because it keeps me from going crazy and it's just nice to make something.
We love talking to you, man, and I feel like we talked a lot, so I look forward to getting to know your stuff more. I'm definitely going to be listening to you after this, and thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys, and I hope we could, you know, keep this keep in contact and, you know, possibly do some other collab stuff.
I'd be happy to. Yeah, absolutely.
You could come up to Montreal and see Peter's thigh tattoos.
Yeah, if you'd like.
And his wall art. Yeah.
Very interested.
And Ethan's foot fetish dungeon. Well, I guess that constitutes...
What do we say, Outer Boys?
An Other Worlds Boys.
Other Boys.
Or?
The Other Boys.
The Other Boys.
Out.
Out.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, guys.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.